Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, here on a Friday as we get now getting closer to that football opener for college football coming up. It's week zero. There's only a handful of games, but it's still football nevertheless. There's a report coming out of Dallas that the Cowboys have offered Ezekiel Elliott enough of a contract to make him the second highest paid running back in the league. The reports say, this is Ed Werder of ESPN, saying that the deal would pay him more than Le'Veon Bell's deal of $13.5 million, but it would also not pay him as much as Todd Gurley's deal of $14.375 million. If this is true, what is everybody waiting for? Get to the table and lock this in. Does Ezekiel Elliott really want to be the highest paid back in the league? Maybe he does.
Apparently.
But apparently he does.
Maybe it's the second highest paid running back, but also an apology.
Yeah, maybe that's what they want. Yeah, very much not going to get that. Because, you know, Jerry Jones says, well, I have the right to joke around with you, Zeke. I have the right to joke around with you.
I would love for Zeke to turn around and say, like, I've earned the right to say no.
Yeah, exactly. I have the right to say no. But if this, I think if you're Ezekiel Elliott and his team, I think this is a deal you take, right? He still has 2 years on his rookie deal. We've said this over and over again. He doesn't have any leverage, right? I mean, really, the only leverage he has is if the Cowboys stink without him. That's all he has. It's not a Le'Veon Bell situation where he's going to be free of the Cowboys after one season, take a year off, you know, and then train and then come back refreshed and go to the highest bidder. He doesn't have that. The Cowboys own his rights for 2 more years, and they can also franchise him for a third. But if this is the deal that's on the table, he is trying to get deals with Dak done. He's trying to get Amari Cooper done. He's got some defensive guys he wants to sign. If he's got enough wiggle room here in his money that he can give Zeke, Zeke this kind of deal that makes him the second highest paid back in the league, I'd take it. If it's in the 14, if it's 14.1, maybe 14.01 or whatever it is, I'd run to it. I'd run and sign and get back with my team as soon as possible. But we'll see how it plays out, because sometimes these logical things don't, there's a little bit more to the story than we think. And maybe that's the case here. Like I said earlier, it's just a report. It's not really, you know, common knowledge yet. Just a source had said, but if it's true, I'd run to the table.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Less than 30 minutes, the good, the bad, the dumb, the Friday edition coming your way. Oh, I was very glad that the Pac-12 decided no 9 a.m. games. I said I was okay with the idea as long as Pac-12 After Dark didn't disappear, which I didn't think it was ever going to disappear. It's kind of a cool thing to have as part of the conference. But the Pac-12 was trying to start games at 9 a.m. on the West Coast so they could get a noon kickoff on the East Coast and they could get more exposure on the East Coast, which is a pretty good business idea. The problem that you have with the idea is the college football isn't just a show up and go to the game experience. There's a lot of tailgating hours before, really hanging out with your friends in the parking lot, your fellow season ticket holders. A lot of these guys have been going to these groups forever and ever. And what are they going to do? Start waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get down there to start setting up their breakfast barbecue. It just seemed like a weird idea, but I understand why they were doing it. The Pac-12 After Dark thing was kind of their cool brand, but sometimes it didn't appeal to everybody, right? So what they were saying was, look, There are some of you out there that live in the Eastern time zone, that live in Central time zone, that stay up late for our games because it's a Saturday night. It's kind of relaxing. I do it. That's one of the things I love about my Saturday nights is just settling in. Even if I don't even care about the game, I'll watch like Washington State and Stanford and be like, it's just on. I'm not following it, but I'll be in the TV room and I'll watch it and it's just on. I'll stay up until 12:30 or so. It's kind of a cool thing. I didn't want to get rid of that, but I understand what they were doing. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't stay up for those games. A lot of people go to bed. Right?
If they've been watching college football, a lot of people are burnt out.
Especially if you live in like New Jersey, you're not going to watch. Why? You know, it better be appealing if you're going to watch USC versus Arizona from Tucson at 12:30 at night. So what they were saying was there's just not enough. Like, there's not enough exposure with that. That's a cool thing, and we like it, and we like branding it that way, but we want the 9 a.m. kickoff.
But the problem is that if you have a 9 a.m. kickoff on the West Coast and it's, it's kicking off at noon on the East Coast, what are you going to be more gravitated to watch? Are you going to be interested in a Pac-12 game, or are you going to be more interested in a random SEC game?
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
Or a Big Ten game.
And college football is very, very local. And there's, there's alumni everywhere in the country, and I get it, but there's just not enough to make to power your way through in these markets when the SEC is going at full tilt, when the ACC is going at full tilt, and so is the Big Ten and the Big 12. When these games are rolling, look, we all know if you all have a good cable package, there's like 50 games on. You can flip through. You can watch Charleston Southern play football in some weird channel that's like in the 800s. I mean, there's all sorts of games on. So they're throwing themselves in a very crowded field to try to get attention, when in reality, and I hate to say it because I know a lot of people don't stay up for it, their best attention is late at night, is appeal to more people to say, hey, put the kids to bed, settle down, lay on the couch, grab a blanket, watch us even if you fall asleep to us. Because I can't imagine Arizona and USC infiltrating the southeastern part of the country. Right? It might be a good game. Heck, at some point, it could be an important game, right? You could have these two great teams playing, right? But you're not gonna kick into some of these regions where the local college football area is very big and very important. Look, I've said I grew up in New England, and college football just doesn't have the same impact as other parts of the country. But when I lived in New Jersey for 2 years, I was surprised. And Rutgers is not a good football team, but I was surprised how many people were into the Rutgers football team, just because a lot of people went to school there, and a lot of people were alumni, and a lot of people went to the games, and a lot of people were kind of upset that they weren't playing well or whatnot. Because college football is a very local thing. And it's, if you're asking most of America to go, now pay attention to us, they'll go, well, we'd like to, but, Alabama's playing Ole Miss. I can't possibly give you any attention. Sorry. But you know what would be really cool? If you were on at 12:30 at night and I didn't have anything else to do.
Yep.
I couldn't fall asleep.
I couldn't fall asleep,
so I'll watch you. Right? I mean, I've watched some great football over the years with Pac-12 after
that. And if you really think it too, Pac-12 starting at 9, I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot of student support.
No.
And if you do, you really don't want those students showing up because they haven't gone to bed yet.
Yeah.
They've most likely been tailgating all night long.
And also, if the team isn't all that good and apathy is starting to set in at some of these schools, now you're in real trouble, right?
Can you imagine how many belligerent college kids there would be at 9 a.m. for a 9 a.m. kickoff?
Unbelievable. So I'm kind of glad that I think it'll come back. I think eventually they'll find a way to make it work and kick it in. But you got a pretty good branding thing.
It just doesn't make any sense, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
And I'm sure there were some powerful alumni that spoke up and said, no. I'm not getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go 10 to 9 a.m. kickoff.
Well, not only that, but then, think of the players. What's their
routine? Yeah, the players too, right?
You gotta put some fuel in your body. So what are they having breakfast at 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning?
Because
they gotta make sure that stuff is digested. I mean, it's not like you're gonna fire down a bunch of bacon and eggs a half hour before kickoff.
And when you're not used to getting up that super early, it kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Then you have to start training these kids. Hey,
you know college kids don't wake up early.
So I would think they get up early during camp, right? Like when they have camp, they usually the alarm goes off pretty early.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this might be even earlier than that because it takes a lot to prepare for a game. You got some, you know, little meetings, show up, do this, get taped, work out, get ready. And then the 9 a.m. kickoff, I mean, it comes pretty really early. So the Gators are taking on Miami on Saturday night. I can't wait to, I know it's going to be hot all over the college football, but with this game in Orlando in, you know, 24th of August, even when the sun starts to set, that humidity is going to be pretty bad. But luckily, both of these schools are used to it. It's not like Orlando asked two teams from like Michigan and Ohio to come down to play a game. So, but I've been reading a lot about how Florida is under tremendous pressure to win this game. No, they're not. Stop with the clickbait now. Nobody is under tremendous pressure to win an opening game in college football, unless, of course, you're playing a severe underdog. Right? You can recover losing to Miami if you're Florida. The SEC champion is going to the playoff. If Florida loses to Miami, it does nothing to their status of winning the East and playing for the conference championship. They're not under tremendous pressure. If you're writing this, get with the program. That has been gone for the last 5 years. You can recover from games like this. Now, if you want to say Dan Mullen is under pressure to win this because Miami is an up-and-coming program, Florida hasn't had a lot of success against the Hurricanes, Felipe Franks needs his utmost confidence if they're going to be successful this year and this could throw him off. If you want to throw a lot of these other different angles to them that are manageable, that's totally fine. But Florida is not under any under tremendous pressure to win this one. Yeah, they haven't had success a lot against Miami, but a lot of that success failure against the Hurricanes were going up against Hurricanes teams that were competing for the national championship. You know, you're talking early 2000s and all of that. Come on. You can recover from this if you're Florida. This is Miami. This isn't Miami of Ohio. I mean, Miami is not going to win the ACC, but they might have a decent enough season. And Florida last year struggled enough and then came through and realized who they were and how they could get better. The one thing about this game, and if you're watching it on Saturday night, watch for this. The Florida defense is going to be great. The Florida secondary is going to be outstanding. And Miami's got Juwan Williams, who's a freshman quarterback, under center. He's going to struggle against that Florida secondary. However, on the flip side of this, what the Gators' weakness is right now, and if you're Dan Mullen and you're the offensive coordinator, you know that this will be better as the games go on. They're losing a number of players on their offensive line, and that offensive line is shaky enough. And that's a good front seven for Miami that could cause some problems for Florida in this game. But Florida's defense is too good to lose this. And they're just too good. They're just too good to lose this. But if they do, even if they do, this is not a terrible loss. Now, granted, there are some teams that are going to be playing some teams this weekend that if they lost, we would still be talking about it, you know, come playoff time or around playoff time. But believe me, there is a better understanding to this in college football today than there was 7 years ago. 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There's a better understanding as to what exactly is happening in these games, right? The committee has said, and I've repeated this over and over again, they're asking you to go out and play these kind of games. They're telling the Floridas of the world, Florida doesn't have to play Miami. Does not have to play Miami in a neutral field, for crying, even if it is just really down the road in Orlando. They play enough tough games that if they had scheduled a Florida Atlantic or a Florida International for this weekend, they would be fine. Nobody would criticize that because their conference is tough, really tough. They're going to play LSU this year. Right? Florida State might bounce back and be decent. They don't have to do this, but they did. And if they lose, it's understandable. Miami, again, Miami's not a world beater. They had too young of a quarterback, and Manny Diaz, it's his first year, is going from defensive coordinator to head coach. They're not going to win the ACC. They don't have to play Clemson this year, so we'll never really see them against the Tigers. They do have Virginia Tech. They do have Virginia. These are two tough games, but they have them at home. But they can do some damage this year, and if the Florida loses, so be it. It's just I don't know. It's not sad. That's a wrong word because that's too strong. But I don't know. It's just a little disappointing that we've reached a point in college football where we still cling on to that same idea of how this sport works, and it doesn't work that way anymore. It just doesn't. It's not the same type of way. You guys all know what I'm talking about, right? Remember, you have a team undefeated, right? Going into a week 7 matchup, let's say, week 6 matchup, and you lose, like on the road, like last second field goal, and then it was goodbye national championship. That's the way it used to be. That's not the case anymore. Just not the case. I think Florida will win. I think they have too many talented players, and they are eighth in the nation. They're eighth in the nation for a reason. They really have got some really good defense. It is really top notch. It's gonna cause Georgia problems, I think, this season when they finally play the Bulldogs. That defense is really good. Offense, could be a little iffy, but that defense is going to keep them in games all season long. Good one on Saturday night in Orlando. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know what I'm going to miss today? I used to do high school football games, and I'm not going to do them this year, and I'm kind of sad. My daughter's got some basketball commitments, and I missed out on a lot of them last year because I did some high school football last year. And so I said, I can't do it this year. But this is her final year with this group of kids. Next year, I'll be fine. But I'm kind of bummed. I really like the atmosphere of high school football.
Can you do like fill-in work?
Yeah, every now and then. If they need somebody, I'll be able to do it. It's not every weekend, but it was enough. I missed enough last year that I said, you know what? In her final year with this travel group before her season kicks in, I'm going to spend more time with that.
Yeah,
but
you got to do it for the kids.
Yeah, like I don't want to miss out. I missed out on a lot of stuff last year with her. Like I was, they'd have a Friday game, and then sometimes I'd catch a Saturday afternoon game. But, you know, those Friday games, they were really fun. And so my wife would take her on these trips, and I couldn't go. And so I just said this year I couldn't do it. I'm bummed because listen, I've always said one of the things about this business is you do a lot of different things. But even if, you know, like I don't make a ton of money doing it, but I do it because I really like it. I just like the atmosphere, and I like the kids, and I like the community. And it's kind of fun. And that's why I do it. And I miss it because I hate to say this because I grew, but I feel like, I enjoy the high school atmosphere. You know, I'm older now. My kids are in high school, but there is something about those lights. Those Friday night lights are pretty cool.
Yeah.
They really are.
I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I haven't been to a Friday night football game in years.
Yeah.
And I keep telling my son and my wife, I was like, We have a fantastic football stadium for our high school football teams. Like, we have one stadium for all the high school football teams. I mean, each school has like a practice field that they don't host games there. They have almost like a $1 billion stadium that hosts Texas. But I constantly say to her, I say, you know, we need to just go and check it out. We just need to go and see it. I think it would be a lot of fun. It's a Friday night. You know, just kill a Friday night and just take in a football game and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. And, you know, my daughter's going to her first, she's a freshman this year. She's going to her first game tonight. She's really excited.
That's
right?
Exciting. Yeah.
But, you know, she knows that she's not going to get to many this year.
Well, she's not going to watch it.
Yeah. And I know, that's what I told her. I said, you're not going to really watch it. You know, I said, I've been to a lot of these where teams into it. And then after a while, you start migrating around, walking around,
seeing
hanging out.
Seeing who's there, checking out friends.
But she's going to miss a few games this year.
Don't go under the bleachers.
So she's going to go where she wants to.
Just tell her no underneath the bleachers, please.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. But I think it's, I didn't grow up with a high school football team. My school was too small. We had too many small town, middle of nowhere, New Hampshire. We just didn't have enough kids. But I always felt like it would have been cool if we had one. You know, we didn't have anything in the fall. Like, you know, soccer team or the field hockey team, and they played different times. You know, they played like on a Thursday night or a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. We didn't have a Friday night, let's all get together type of moment for our school growing up. We didn't have a team.
In fact, I mean, for me, I've only seen, I don't even think I can say a handful of games where a high school football game as a spectator, because I played.
But you were a kicker.
I guess I watched a lot from the sideline. I had a great seat.
Right.
Cleanest uniform on the team.
The school that I did the games for here in Middle Tennessee last year made the state playoffs. And what was great about that was, you know, you would it really was. For me, again, not growing up in an area that had high school football, you know, whatnot, but it was nice. Like when we went to Jackson, Tennessee, which was like an hour and a half away for the game, but like there was a police escort, there was kids on the bus, there was like the city, you know, shut down, you know, for these kids, like all the businesses, you know, had closed so they could come out to support the game. And this caravan of cars were on I-40 all the way to Jackson to be with this team. You know, that's a real bonding thing. The larger picture on it is it's a real bonding community thing. It was really nice to see. It was great to, you know, they lost the game. It was raining, but they played pretty hard and it was against one of the better teams in the state. But it was just that feeling of, you know, this was cool to be a part of. This is neat. This is not big time college ball.
Right.
This is not NFL ball that we get on Sundays. This is different. This is
these kids are actually playing for the love of the game.
They're playing, and you know, there's moms making, you know, they're doing a bake sale to raise more money for next year. They're, like all season long, they had things like this, right? It was good to see. It was kind of cool to see. And again, I did not grow up in that environment at all. I did not have that in my life. I didn't have that, and I've called a number of high school games, but I, you know, mostly game of the week kind of things where I'm bouncing around from team to team, school to school. I was with this one team for the whole year, and it was kind of cool. One game, though, I was talking to one of the coaches. This bothered me so much. This is a first world broadcaster problem. They had these really cool uniforms once. They had different kinds, like an alternate jersey. And it was solid color on solid color with the numbers, and I couldn't read the numbers. And I was so mad. I was like, normally you got to go color white or white color, right? I mean, you have to have the
well, the numbers got to be contrast.
Yeah, they had like a maroon jersey with a blue number that blended together, and I couldn't read the number, and I was so mad. I was like, don't ever wear those again. I was like, I'm just going to start guessing which kid scores a touchdown. And I had binoculars, and I couldn't figure out who these kids, who the numbers were.
That's right. When I played high school football, my parents were so proud when they came out to watch because I joined the team late. So my name was never on the official roster.
Oh.
I was just known as number 10.
Oh. That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to stop calling up number 10.
Yeah, no one bothered to ask.
I think it's Ron Culver. Let's write that down.
No one bothered to come down. No one. The coaches didn't even care. That just shows you the love they have for a kicker. It's like, oh, who's number 10? I remember one of the assistant coaches, he was the offensive coordinator. Had no idea who my name was. He would just be like you and just point at me and say, come here. And I'm like, dude, I took your class in 10th graders. You know, you were my teacher once. You don't remember me?
That is awesome. That is great. I bought a laminator. Do you know how into this I was? I bought a laminator because my first game, it was so windy, even in the press box windows were open, and it was so windy, my papers would fly around. And I said, no, I got to go buy like a laminator to laminate these things, and then I can lock them in so they don't fly all over the place. I was a dedicated young man.
Take a year. Look at it as a sabbatical.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
You know, gain some knowledge with your year off, and maybe you fill in from time to time when they need it.
You know what I'm going to miss, though? Awful concession food.
Oh, did you get it for free?
Oh,
you
didn't
get it for free.
No, they would say, go down and get a burger.
Oh,
like, go down at home games, not on the road. Road games, I had to pay. But with the home games, I knew the concession people enough. They would go, here you go.
That food is terrible, but man, it's so good.
It is good, man. It is delicious. Like, just a burger that's been sitting there in that tin foil, and you open it up, and you throw some condiments on there as best you can.
fake and cheese on the nachos.
That's right. Yeah, fake cheese on the nachos. Yeah, it was great. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday. We're going to close out the week strong. Did some good stuff this week.
No. Yeah, well, I saved some of the best for the last.
But we saved the best for the last. So what's the good today?
You know, most people are going to see this as a negative. I'm only seeing this as a positive, and that's why it's good. An 85-year-old woman was arrested.
85-year-old woman arrested?
Along with five men ranging in age from 62 to 85 for being involved in lewd and sexual activity in the Grace Richardson Conservation Area in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Excellent. Well, I don't want to know what they were doing. But,
I don't either. The only thing that I do know is that one of the men, I'm not really sure what the purpose was, but he was just strolling through the park naked, and that's kind of what tipped everyone off.
Oh, they said, wait a minute, that's not normal.
That's not normal.
Let's go get him.
He has his shirt draped over his shoulder, but that's about it.
That's it. So, what is she facing for a crime like this?
That can't be much, right?
Yeah, maybe a fine, maybe some community service?
If you're a judge and she comes before you like, okay, you and these five gentlemen were all caught in the act...
Yeah.
God bless you.
I know, right?
I hope I'm that virile when I'm that age.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't they say that happens in like senior homes?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you'd be surprised what goes on at the senior home.
Borderline brothel.
Right. You know? They're not quite done yet.
No.
You know,
they still got the urge, Tony.
They still do. Doesn't go away. You know, evolution is its finest.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll leave it to you all for your imagination with, you know, one woman and five men.
So, do you think when she goes up in front of the judge just goes, you know, what am I really going to do here?
Yeah.
You know, lady, good for you.
Yeah. Honestly. You can't. You know, just, I mean, maybe the 60-year-old men, you throw the book at them.
Maybe so.
Because that's young.
That's young,
but 85-year-old, you know what? You can't throw the book out. You got to just stand up and applaud.
Yep, you just go, well done. Good for you.
Yeah, but I would love to, I'll be honest with you, I would love to hear the court hearing.
I kind of would like to, I kind of into that too. Yeah, I hear you.
Play a little music, maybe light a candle or two.
That's right. That's a good good. That I don't know why that makes me feel like a pretty good story. Good story.
You know
right?
why? It gives you hope.
It does.
It gives you hope.
It does.
That it'll never end.
I just got a feeling at 85 for me, I'm just going to I won't be able to move. I'll just be like,
yeah, you do get that. But no, you'll be able to. You'll find the strength somehow, some way.
That's right. That's right. All right. So then what's the bad today?
The bad of the day is MLB and gas stations.
All right. What's up with that?
The MLB has an issue and had to issue a statement warning its players from using those male enhancement pills.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Typically found in convenience stores and gas stations.
Yeah. Major League Baseball finally had to speak up on this. Too many of these guys were going,
you know what? Right now, the steroid era is a farce.
Yeah.
They weren't using steroids to better their game. They were using steroids to better themselves in the bedroom.
Right. But here's the suspicion though. Doesn't the fertility drug, enhancement drug, used to mask the PED agent?
No, but others do contain anabolic steroids in it.
Yes, but also when you hear somebody say, I was taking a fertility drug or I was taking this pill for reproductive purposes.
Yeah.
That's usually a warning sign that, you also use it to mask real
PEDs. Right. No, I mean, yeah, what happens. It detects, it probably detects that masking agent and just baseball's, then they're letting you guys know, hey, we have to assume that if you're using a masking agent, we're assuming that you're using it for,
right,
to hide something.
Right. So but by warning on these ones, they're saying, look, if you are going to, stay away from these.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe come out. You know what? Some manufacturer now has to come out with a line of safe MLB approved enhancement pills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't go use the horny goat weed or you know, some of the other ones that are out there. Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, right. You don't
By the way, how great would it be to be on the marketing campaign of some of those just to come up with names?
I know. Oh, some of them are great.
You know, I mean, I could think of, I can rattle off a bunch of them right now.
Yeah.
You know, just off the top of my head, just sitting there's like, I could develop a pill and I'd want to call it Thor's Hammer.
No kidding. No kidding is right. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, you can do a whole Marvel line. You
I know.
Hulk Smash.
Thor's Hammer is a good one. Hulk Smash. Yeah, good for baseball, but this is,
yeah, it's weird. A serious problem.
Serious problem. Major League Baseball's on top of
it. I mean, you know, but you also, the other bad thing to this is now when a guy is using steroids, say, you know, let's go back in time. Say Mark McGwire, because he finally came out and admitted that he was using. If Mark McGwire knew that this information was available to him, would he come out and say, oh, no. I mean, would you risk saying I'm having problems in the bedroom and I'm needing these pills to help me out?
Yeah.
Or do you come out and say, no, I was juicing.
Yeah, no, I was juicing the whole time. I was juicing the whole time. You caught me. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah, I'm not going to admit to inefficiencies in the other part of the house.
Maybe inefficiencies that swing in a bat hard, but not the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, that's great. That's great. Oh, good. All right.
Then finally, the dumb of the day has to go. It's not really the fans. It's, I'm going to say, the organizers. I'm going to put it to you this way. It's kind of like the Fyre Festival down under.
Okay.
There was a lot of Australian basketball fans who bought courtside seats for that exhibition game against the U.S.
Yeah.
Some of them spent $1,500.
Oh, God, don't do that.
For a plastic lawn chair that sat below the stadium because the stadium was risen up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Like you picture an NCAA basketball, the Final Four tournament.
Yeah, well, the court is elevated.
The court is elevated.
Okay, so now, they got
now
lawn
imagining
chairs.
Sitting in a plastic lawn. I'm talking about those cheap plastic lawn chairs that if you sit in them or move too long, the legs snap. I don't know if that happens to anybody. I heard that from a friend.
Yeah,
but
they do.
Yeah, I know. But that was $1,500 was sitting in one of those chairs all in a row. So if you were like, I don't know, 10th row back, and you have 10 rows of people sitting in front of you, you can't see unless you stand up.
No, that's terrible. These guys, I'm sorry. When I watched that Fyre Festival documentary again, I got to be honest with you. I was blown away that the influencers that put up the orange square was enough for people to part ways with thousands of dollars on just something that was on a website. Without any real backing, without really any understanding of what this was, of what exactly was going down, without any evidence that this is what was going to happen. And the other thing was, afterwards in the documentary, and this kind of goes into what this was that Billy McFarland, who organized this and was a disaster, even after he was arrested, he started a company called NYC VIP, and he had another guy be the face of that, and they would email all of the people that paid money for the Fyre Festival, and they would say, hey, I got Met Gala VIP tickets. I got Masters tickets. Here's courtside MSG tickets with dinner with LeBron. Meet and greet with Taylor Swift. Go to Coachella VIP passes. And like the guy that he had as the face of the franchise, they showed him on a video. He's like, yeah, getting it on now. I got VIP, Met Gala, baby, Met Gala. And I'm like, there is no such thing as that, right? And they were selling him as a fraud. If you're going to go online and buy $1,500 for a ticket for something, you better know that there's some reputable person on the other end before you give your money away.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was the whole organizer. This was
so this wasn't a group that came in and said we'll
no,
buy
this was
that,
a this was a
that
FIBA,
was legit.
This was a FIBA event.
You could sue FIBA for this.
You can.
So this wasn't a guy, like a fly-by-night guy you have to track down and hope he has money?
No,
this was an actual organization.
This is what the arena provided.
Okay, even better. Even better. Because my overall point was, a lot of times you give money to people you never can find.
Right.
You can't track down. They either don't have it or they don't live up to the promise. All those Fyre Festival kids are never getting their money back. Never.
Oh, never.
They're never getting it. It's gone. It's gone forever. All the money they spent, they're never going to see it in a court of law. Same thing was with the people that dumped $100,000 into these fake VIP tickets with the second company. They're never getting their money back. So this is an actual organization, though, that you could hold their feet to the fire to say this is unacceptable. $1,500 for a breakable lawn chair that I can't see? Oh, no, 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 no. We're not doing this. But that's sad. That's really terrible. Like, for $1,500, you should at least have a seat that reclines, don't you think? Like, well, it's got some cushion to it, right?
I get it if an NBA courtside, a lot of times it's just a folding chair, but it's really padded. It's really nice.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you're not getting a lazy boy on the court. Sorry. But somebody you just look at it and go, this should be, I don't know. If I showed up and I know that I had spent $1,500 to sit in a plastic lawn chair, those white plastic lawn chairs, I would be so upset.
Yeah.
And then
especially with
down,
an elevated court that's not really,
oh
so you're
God.
Not really courtside.
I just sent you a photo. So you can kind of see what it looks like. The way they're sitting is, you know, if you're in the front row, you're probably being blocked by the players. Not such a bad gig. But if you're 10 rows back, 11 rows, you know, 15 rows back, you can't see the court.
No, you can't see this. I see what you just said. That's unacceptable. Those are unacceptable seats.
You got to strain your neck. You're standing most of the time. So why even bother paying for a seat?
God, that's terrible. That's a lot of money to pay. That's a lot of money to pay, yeah. And you can't see.
Now the tickets, they ranged anywhere from $150 to $1,500.
God, that's terrible. $1,500.
$1,500 at Marvel Stadium or Marvel Arena. So
be careful.
Marvel's been having a bad week.
Be careful. Yeah, we got to get to that too. I'm going to ask you about that when we come back, because that whole thing with Spider-Man is, I'm trying to figure out what happened there. I'm hearing it sad, but I don't know what it means. Maybe, do you know much about it?
A little bit.
All right, well, we'll expand on that coming up. But, all right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Hersing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I was visiting a friend's shop the other day, and he had a late model car in there with random electrical problems. This is becoming more and more common as the cars become more dependent on electronics. The car was a 2016 model with 55,000 miles, so it was out of warranty. The customer was not having a starting problem, but the check engine light was coming on for different reasons, pretty random. He and I were perplexed, and we started looking at things in common, and there was only one, and that was the battery. And when we did a sophisticated test, it failed. The problem was a bad battery. Everything goes through the battery, and it was 3 years old. And batteries are failing at 2.5 years old. Folks, you have to have a good working battery for the car to work right. If your battery's over 3 years old, you're on borrowed time. This is Mike Hersing, Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's right, the new letstalkwheels.com.
Some people spend the summer hiding from the heat, but not you. You spend your summers outside, exploring all of life's adventures, and there's only one way to make sure your summer lives up to that. Experience it in a Jeep SUV during the Summer of Jeep. Whether you're exploring your city in a Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year, or scaling summits in a Jeep Cherokee with best-in-class 4x4 capability, maybe you'll spend summer finding the perfect view in a Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. Or maybe you'll take an impromptu beach trip in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. For great deals on the best-selling SUV brand, visit your dealer during the Summer of Jeep. Based on Jeep Cherokee offering 2-speed power transfer unit, PTU, with rear-locking axle, low-range 4x4 capability, exclusive Jeep Select Terrain with 5 settings, auto snow, sand, mud, rock, sport, Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards in its lifetime than any other SUV. Based on total 2018 SUV sales and awards light vehicle segment, Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So the Spider-Man situation with Sony and Marvel.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Basically, I guess they've been trying to negotiate. I mean, Disney, you know, Disney's been swallowing up every Marvel character they possibly
absolutely
can.
Absolutely. So I'm not getting the Tom Holland kid anymore as Spider-Man?
No. Apparently, no. Because Sony isn't willing. Blame Sony, blame Disney, just blame corporate America. They can't come to the table. Disney, I guess, was looking for a 50-50 partnership because they front the bill for, you know, the production costs of all these films. And Sony reaps all the benefits because they hold the rights to Spider-Man.
So they just lent him out to Disney and Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
But now that they can't find the contract was up, they can't find a happy harmony. So Sony was like, all right, well, we'll take Spider-Man back.
I know it's irrelevant, but what would Stan Lee have wanted with this?
Well, apparently,
it's irrelevant. I mean, he doesn't...
Stan Lee's daughter said that, you know, speaking on behalf of her late father, said that that all of his characters would want to be looked at through different viewpoints. And she also went on to say that no one treated her father more poorly than the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, she might be just saying that.
He had a cameo in every single movie.
Yeah, that's right.
And, I mean, if you were that upset, I don't know, would you do a cameo in the movie?
No. Right, absolutely.
You would be bitter.
So does
You're
that
like,
mean...
I'm not supporting this.
Is this the Andy Garfield Spider-Man that was the Sony Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire?
Both.
Both, okay.
Yeah, it was Tobey, then Andy, or Andrew Garfield.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, Disney's version was Tom Holland all day, which I think has been the best.
Yeah, I like him. He seems to be a good young Peter Parker. I like that. All right, coming up, more from the preseason action. Who did shine? Who is making a name? Oh, we'll also talk some college football next.